Good morning. It's Saturday, 14th of November. Our first reading for the day is Ezra, chapter 10. Once again, I'm going to read to you from Brother Michael Ashton, The Exile's Return. We read yesterday of Ezra's prayer, and now we think about his reforms. I read. The combination of circumstances, Ezra's great disapproval, the peremptory instruction to congregate in Jerusalem, and a deluge. All these combined to make the people receptive to Ezra's suggestion that they should publicly confess their sin and resolve to separate themselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. The issue was clearly presented. The marrying of foreign wives was itself only indicative of a wrong and disastrous policy in relation to the people of other nations who were living in the land. The example of those who entered the land with Joshua should have taught them about the pitfalls of compromise. We are referred here to Numbers chapter 33 and verse 55. They, like the children of Israel, had been redeemed from bondage and given the opportunity to resettle the land. Zerubbabel had been zealous to maintain the separation when the Samaritans first approached him, offering their help in the construction of the temple. The implication is that the leaders who followed him, if not Zerubbabel himself in later years, failed to continue this policy. The people had been badly led. Now they were faced by a resolute man who had good understanding of the law of God and of the perils facing all who disobey him. Having been presented with the only course of action that would remedy the situation, there was little option but to obey. "As thou hast said, so must we do," was their response to Ezra in verse 12. They did, however, bridle at embarking immediately on the process of separation, and put forward three reasons why the work should be carried out over a period of time. First, the people are many. Second, it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without. And third, neither is this a work of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. The idea was not, it seems, so to delay the process that nothing would be done, for the people also came up with a suggestion of how to order the work. They proposed dealing with the matter city by city. Each city would be responsible for determining who had transgressed, and the elders and judges of each city would bring the offenders at appointed times to Jerusalem. Unless there was a deliberate attempt to delay the process, the people were right to suggest that the work should be carried out after the crowd dispersed. For it took 3 months before all the cases had been heard. They started a week after the day of confession, on the first day of the 10th month, and only finished on the first day of the new year, ready to remember in their keeping of the Passover God's goodness to his people in times past. There was an important principle involved in the people's suggestion about how to proceed. From the time when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, advised for the sake of Moses' health that he should delegate his work of judging the people, the idea that each group or city, and latterly each ecclesia, should be responsible for establishing the truth about affairs arising in its midst has been clearly established. It must also be understood that this arrangement is not just a human institution. Jethro completed his advice to Moses by saying, "If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." May these stirring examples from the life of Ezra influence our lives in service of the Lord our God. Thank you for listening to me.